This show proudly sponsored by Real American Freestyle Wrestling. Recently, a close friend of mine experienced an unexpected loss. Watching their family struggle emotionally and financially made me stop and think seriously about my own family's future. As the primary provider, I know how important it is to make sure that if anything ever happened to me, my family would still be able to manage. So I realized that without life insurance, my family would be left with overwhelming financial burdens. I looked into coverage before, but the process always felt complicated, got endless forms, phone calls, and medical exams, made everything take weeks. So that's why Ethos stood out to me. Their process is simple and 100% online. There's no medical exam required, just a few health questions, and you get a quote in as little as 10 minutes. In many cases, you can even receive same-day coverage without ever leaving your house. Ethos offers up to $3 million in coverage, with some policies starting as low as $2 a day, billed monthly. It's a trustworthy company that's changing the way people think about life insurance. So protect your family's financial future with life insurance from Ethos. Get your free quote at ethos.com/Brian. That's ethos.com/Brian. Application times may vary. Rates may vary. Russia, of course, their presence in the Middle East severely hurt when you saw Syria's President Assad be overthrown. He's now living in Russia. And now you have this new leader who's basically been targeted by Russia and the government as they barrel bombed most of the Syrians. They still have a presence in Syria. Besides that, they are being drummed out of the Middle East once again. Dr. Ahmed joins us now. Dr. Ahmed, welcome back.
Pleasure to be here.
First off, when you talk about what last week was the MBS week. That's when he comes to America, and he was treated, he had a flyover, Oval Office, press conference, formal dinner, Kenny and Center investment conference. How was that perceived by Saudi Arabia?
I think it was a huge honor to the Saudis, and I think the Crown Prince said in the Oval Office, the actual triumph is that 9/11 was attempting to sever that relationship between the United States and Saudi Arabia that's existed now for almost 80 years to the day. And it is fully back and strong and in good form.
So what do you think about people who were insulted about that here in America? They thought John Stewart, for example, how dare you be so nice to Saudi Prince after most of the hijackers are from Saudi Arabia? What would you tell them?
So what I'd say to John is I take care of 9/11 first responders every day in my office. It is much more complex. This was not a state-sponsored attack, 9/11. Osama bin Laden was stripped of his Saudi citizenship in the 1990s by Saudi Arabia, who warned the United States that he was a terrorist. And the damage done to Saudi Arabia because of that event and all of the subsequent events has been enormous. So the Saudi people and the Saudi royal family are devastated at the loss of life of 9/11 first responders, but the relationship must continue, which is good for regional stability.
How do you explain or what the reality as you know it with Khashoggi and his killing?
So that was a disaster. I cannot imagine that was a state-sanctioned dismemberment. Khashoggi has been portrayed as a heroic Washington Post journalist. He was much more likely to be affiliated with the Muslim Brotherhood. There's evidence that he was looking to augment digital networks to bring about the fall of the Saudi monarchy. The Saudis saw him as an enemy of the state. Was he destined to die in that manner? That is atrocious. The Saudi crown prince himself has said that is a stain on the kingdom. And they have paid reparations to the family. But that is not the defining event for the relationship between our countries.
Well, I think also not that it's ever right to kill him. You don't kill him, period, especially an American, someone employed by the Washington Post. But he grew up and was a confidant of bin Laden. You know, he was up to high school with bin Laden. They were in constant touch.
He was also part of and very welcomed by Saudi intelligence services. So he was a complex character. But it may bring us up to date with the risks that we're facing here in the United States with the Muslim Brotherhood and its affiliations.
So what are your hopes or what should the Americans know about the possibility that we get to a phase two in the Israel-Gaza situation with Hamas and all the other players?
Well, I think we're seeing a realignment in the international community for zero tolerance towards Muslim Brotherhood groups, including Hamas. The entire region is looking forward to the end of this conflict. We've had tremendous alliances with Egypt and Jordan towards Israel to maintain and contain that conflict. I think now comes the part where what are we going to do with the residual armed Hamas fighters that need to be defanged of their weapons and expelled somewhere? as well as creating the International Stabilization Force. I think those are the two sticking points.
Well, how much sympathy do people have for Hamas? Did they have a lot of support in the Middle East? If we put in Middle East forces there for the freedom, the peace forces, and we get the IDF out of Gaza once and for all, and they put together Indonesia, I know, has volunteered, and other troops. Is there a willingness there to crack down on Hamas if they start terrorizing people again?
So I just came back from northern Iraq, Iraqi Kurdistan, where there is no love lost towards Hamas. In fact, I asked them, do you have a Hamas presence or a Muslim Brotherhood presence here? They don't have Hamas actors in northern Kurdistan. They have a Muslim Brotherhood political party, which they said, we like to see it above ground because we don't want them underground. There is animus to what they've done to the region, but there's much stronger pro-Hamas sentiment here in the United States. That's what I'm worried about.
And what about the connection of the Muslim Brotherhood here and how it relates to CARE, which is an acronym, and it's the largest. This group has always been problematic. What are we finding out about them?
So there's a bombshell report released by the NCRI and the Intelligence Advocacy Network. They have discovered not only that CARE is taking in California federal funds, supposedly for Afghan refugees, but funneling it into itself and using it for political lobbying without telling the IRS. They were financing some of the most violent protesters with $1,000 rewards on our campus to do all of that pro-Hamas disruption that we saw in our universities. And now, today, they've revealed that the CARE political action group, which is called CARE Action, is operating without licenses, without registration. It's headquartered in D.C. It doesn't have a business license in D.C. to do that. That means it's 22 chapters that it's interacting with and transmitting finances and raising donations, maybe violating all kinds of state and federal laws.
Wow. So that President Trump, that could be his opening to really crack down on them. He's already moved in that direction, right?
I was thrilled with the executive order that's been announced last week. And he is asking for Americans, just as we've seen with the governor of Texas and Senator Ted Cruz, that they're designating specific chapters as potential foreign terrorist or criminal network groups. This report by NCRI and IAN shows that there's also an affiliation with Turkish aligned, the state of Turkey aligned influences, CARE's fundraising activities are purported to be civil liberties, but they're actually political action. They're occurring in properties that are owned by the Turkish Ministry of Religious Affairs. Their financial digital architecture is rooted through Turkey, not the United States. There are many irregularities that are raising red flags.
So they got to be stopped. I mean, we know they've been a problem. There's been a lot of attention since 9/11, and they tend to be very anti-American. And you said they were huge. They were pumped a lot of money into Mandami, and I'm sure those money into that Somali that ran for mayor too in Minneapolis.
So these are not my allegations. These are findings in the report. And actually, they say themselves, Linda Sarsour, who is an iconic leader in this organization.
An extremist.
An extremist and an anti-Semite. And I would say as Islamist as they come. She is announcing that the largest donation to our mayor-elect came from California CARE. $3 million. Wow. Not only that, but NCRI has found that the campaign of Mamdani, a lot of the social media algorithms were foreign. They were not intrinsic to New York. So we create this digital fiction that he's a political inevitability, and that's been manipulated from outside, from digital impact, and also potentially outside finances.
My hunch is a lot through TikTok.
Yes, TikTok. This is not to impugn Mayor Mamdani or American Muslims. Many Muslims may have contributed to this, thinking that they're becoming involved in the political landscape of the United States, not knowing how it's being manipulated.
So how do you feel about there's a sense, like, for example, in Dearborn, Michigan, you see that Muslim mayor who says, I don't want to be a melting pot in America. I want to keep my own culture. I don't want to lose my identity in American culture. That's not the attitude, obviously, that have kept America thriving for 250 years.
And that is not the mindset that attracted me to this country almost 34 years ago. But that is signs of a desire for separatism, signs for a desire not really of parallel societies, but closed societies. That comes back to the epic housing scandal that was in Texas, where the spiritual leader of a Muslim group there, who'd been very pro October 7th, was spearheading a housing complex for 1,000 families, which they initially stated was to build a Muslim community. Texans felt it was Muslim only. So there's an effort to capture Muslims in America and separate them off to create political change.
How do you feel about the Somali, their special status being rescinded?
So I don't know if that's been precipitated by these reports of potentially $86 million of funds going somewhere and some of it in Shabab. I think that it's probably necessary. It's also very disturbing to honest, decent Muslims in this country that participate and contribute, but it seems very intentional exploitation of federal dollars. And yes, I want to give you one example that just happened a couple of nights ago in Italy. The Italian government under Meloni has identified a Muslim Brotherhood, Italian Egyptian national in Turin, that was preaching and promoting Islamism and has had him deported back to Egypt and stripped him of Italian citizenship, which is a rarity. So what I believe this report will do, NCRI is going to guide our federal agencies to take a closer look. Was this sloppy bookkeeping? I think it looks more like financial misconduct, and it is deliberate. And then hold accountable the individuals who were responsible for this, because that needs to be addressed.
All right, Dr. Kanta Ahmed, stick around. We've got a few more things to talk about. You're listening to the Brian Kilmeade Show. Don't move. Real American Freestyle is the first ever unscripted pro wrestling league created by Hulk Hogan, Chad Bronstein, Israel Martinez, and Eric Bischoff to give elite wrestlers a real shot at professional career. Real American Freestyle is where Olympians, world champions, and NCAA legends come to compete. Not in a cage, not in a script, but on the mat in front of fans around the world. This is real wrestling, reimagined for today. The first event kicks off August 30th in Cleveland, featuring matchups with some of the best wrestlers on the planet. You've never seen wrestling like this. Learn more at realamericanfreestyle.com. What if your home security could stop a break-in before it even begins? That's not science fiction. That's Simply Safe. And right now, their early access Black Friday sale is changing how we think about protection. Traditional systems wait until someone's already breaking in. Simply Safe's Active Guard outdoor protection, powered by AI, detects threats before they reach your door. Real security agents jump in instantly, confronting intruders, letting them know they are on camera and the police are on their way. And if needed, sending off sirens and spotlights. It's proactive protection that stops crime before it happens. And here's the best part. No long-term contracts, no hidden fees, and you can cancel anytime. It's been named Best Home Security System by U.S. News & World Report for 5 years straight. And with a 60-day money-back guarantee, you can try completely risk-free. So, if home safety's been on your mind, this is your moment. Right now, my listeners can take advantage of their biggest sale of the year with this exclusive early access to Simply Safe's Black Friday sale. And save 60% on any new system by going to simplysafe.com/Brian. There will never be a better time to get real security for your home. Go to simplysafe.com/Brian. Stay protected and stay one step ahead with Simply Safe. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Brian Kilmeade Show. We've got a few more minutes with Dr. Kanta Ahmed, Senior Fellow of Independent Women's Forum, member of the Council on Foreign Relations. Great knowledge of the Middle East throughout Europe, too. And of course, what's happening here. Doctor, first off, when we talk about Iraq, we used to talk about it every day, 10, 20 times a day. But we have a situation where there is somewhat of representative government emerging there. We always felt good about the Kurds.
Yes.
We always felt like they understood us and they were loyal allies. But what about the rest of Iraq?
So, yes, I was just with the Iranian Kurdistan region a few weeks ago, and they are staunchly pro-American, pro-Trump, pro-Republican.
You said Iranian or Iraqi? It's
Iraqi Kurdistan. Okay. So they're staunchly in favor of President Trump and the United States, and they're really unwavering in their support. There was just a general election in Iraq. The participation was not as high as usual, but the election went off well. The Shia cleric, Muqtada al-Sadr, told his followers to boycott the election. He was somehow disenchanted. I'm not sure exactly why. One of the concerns that both in Iraqi Kurdistan and federal Iraq is the operation of the popular mobilization forces. Those are Iranian-backed militia, the Iraqi Nationals. A number of them are designated as foreign terrorist organizations and criminal networks. They subvert the sovereignty of Iraq. They subvert the democracy in Iraq. There used to be 12 groups. There are now 8 that have come, you know, been subjugated. 4 remain. And the U.S. Department of Treasury is targeting them with financial sanctions. And that is helping the stability of Iraq.
So that's just it. When, if you could get Iran in order, how many other things fall into place? Because then the militias, Iraq would have a chance. They don't like the Iranians historically. They have pride. They want to be Iraqis.
Well, Iraq is a country rich in human resources and natural resources. It was vibrant when I visited there. People were in restaurants late at night. People were getting married in hotels.
Really?
Everybody
is. Did you feel comfortable walking the streets?
Oh, I was very comfortable. I traveled alone. I was able to go wherever I wanted. I met with my friends, both men and women. They were traveling to see me.
Do people know you were an American?
Oh, yes, they do. They watch us. They watch your show. So they know I'm an American. And they know my views. And they're very supportive and welcoming. In fact, while I was there, I wanted the opportunity to go and visit Syria, and I was able to do that by land.
Really? That is stunning to me.
So I had 2 big requests. I wanted to meet General Mazlum Abdi, who is the commander of the Syrian Democratic Forces. I believe he's probably the most important military figure in Syria and is a key to the future of the stability of Syria.
What portions of the country does the Syrian government control?
So the central Syrian government now is headed by Ahmed al-Shara, and he has purportedly around 50,000 troops. A lot of the country is without stability, is lawless. It's not a place that I could go or even a highly seasoned overseas operative could go. It's extremely dangerous. General Mazlum secures the northeast part of Syria, which is home to the Kurds, the Yazidis, Christians, secular Muslim Arabs that are not Islamists. After the Druze were attacked, you saw by the jihadists and the Alawites, many of those minorities have been fleeing under his protection. And he's been strongly allied, the Syrian Democratic Forces, with the United States for 10 years fighting ISIS.
So our presence is about what, 400 guys?
In Syria, I'm not sure of the exact numbers now. And
do you think it's important we stay there?
It's critical that we have a big footprint in northeast Syria. I believe the United States is planning to build a base in Damascus. And more important, we need to stay in Erbil in Iraqi Kurdistan, where there's a land route, and we've had great relationships.
It sounds good for us strategically and for you from our perspective. But do you think the Syrian government wants us to have a presence here?
Oh, I'm sure Ahmed al-Shara would like as free a hand as possible, but he's not going to get that. His guarantors are President Trump and MBS. And it's very important that both Saudi Arabia and the United States hold him accountable for protecting minorities. The government structure has to be decentralized. Mm-hmm. Those states where the minorities live have to have a strong government that then connects with the central Damascus government.
And he, according to reports, was impressive when he came to the White House. And how do you think that played in Syria? Did you hear bad things? Or?
I spoke to Syrian Democratic Forces and personnel who had to fight HTS when it was led by this person. So his credentials and his history is well known as a jihadist.
Yeah, it's problematic. We've got to see if he had a change. Let's hope. Anyway, Dr. Ahmed, thanks so much.
Always a pleasure, Brian.
Stay safe.
This is Ainsley Earhart. Thank you for joining me for the 52-episode podcast series, The Life of Jesus.
A listening experience that will provide hope, comfort, and understanding of the greatest story ever told. Listen and follow starting November 30th on foxnewspodcasts.com.